It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome into the Virtual Bible
Study. Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study.
Welcome into the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you're here. This is round two, the second edition, and still some technical bugs that we have to get exterminated, but we're working on those. We're glad you're here. We hope you'll stay tuned for the next hour as we open our Bibles and study along with you over the internet as we enter into this second edition of the Virtual Bible Study. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, joins me. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, good to be with you tonight. Looking forward to the program. We've already got several people logged in listening from several different places around the country and even an international listener. We got a listener from Arica, Chile tonight, and we're glad to have all the listeners on board, and we hope several more will join in before we get going too far here into the program.
We're glad that you're here. This is an international Bible study group tonight, and we're just going to open up our Bibles and study what the Word of God says. We're not going to look to any creed books or any doctrines of men. We want to open up our Bibles and honestly study God's Word to see what God has told us for our lives and how we should live in order to be pleasing to Him. We have a special guest tonight returning to the program. Phil Hunt joins us. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Jacob. It's good to be with you.
Am I on?
Yeah, okay. Good to be with you, Jacob. I'm looking forward to the program tonight, and I certainly hope that we have participation in the forms of emails and calls. And we hope that, or I hope, and I'm sure you all do too, that this time will be profitable for those that listen, and hopefully will participate in the program this evening.
It can be profitable for us if we'll open up our Bibles and sincerely look to God's Word to understand His will in our lives. And we hope that you're prepared, we hope you have your Bible, and that you're ready to study along with us on the Virtual Bible Study tonight.
You know, throughout the week, Jacob, since our first broadcast last Thursday night, we've been getting a lot of feedback. I've been contacted by a number of people who are intrigued by the new technology and the new opportunities being presented by the internet, and it is kind of an exciting thing. Of course, we're capable of taking phone calls. We'd love to have callers. You can call long distance if you want, 931-381-4567. If we've got listeners, and we do have some in Columbia, Tennessee, you can call locally, of course. But we're also constantly monitoring our email, taking questions. If you've got a comment, if you'd like to join in by email, by all means do that, and we're constantly monitoring the email. That's what makes this kind of unique. We want this to be a sort of a roundtable discussion. We want to get people involved. We want your opinions, your discussion. But, of course, in all of this, we're looking to the Bible as our final authority. We want to hear from you. We're going to give our input. But I hope all of us understand that ultimately the only thing that matters is what the Bible says, and that we have to substantiate our answers based upon the Word of God.
The number to call is 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567. You mentioned, Dad, that listeners in Columbia could call. We welcome callers from any area to call, 931-381-4567, or, as you mentioned, you can email us your questions. Go to our website, collegeview.com, click on the Submit a Question link, or you can just email questions at collegeview.com, and we can include your question or comment in the program tonight. Email us that question or call us at 931-381-4567. Any emails there, Dad, to mention before we start in on the program tonight?
I got a question that has come to us from Guillermo in Alameda, California. It says, what do you think of the youth forums that many congregations are getting involved in? I sent him a message back, but he hasn't responded. Guillermo, if you're listening, you might send us back an email and give us a little more idea of what you have in mind there. I imagine that he's talking about sort of the emphasis that a lot of congregations are making on entertainment, sort of a recreational outlet for the young people. You might throw in a little Bible teaching along the way, but you really get them to come in because it's a fun thing to do. There's entertainment, maybe even entertainers, music groups and so forth that are performing. And my response to that would be, as I was just mentioning earlier, we want Bible authority for everything we're doing. And so I couldn't find the Bible Authority for providing recreational, social, entertainment outlets for our young people.
Well, that's right. You know, I was on the web the other day looking at this Young Life thing, which is, I guess, sponsored by some denomination, I don't know, which is sort of a religious thing for kids. I was interested to see that they had one of their camps had a swimming pool, and all the kids were out there in their bathing suits, and a lot of fun and games, not a lot of Bible study that I could see from that. And that tends to be the tendency, Phil, towards those things in the religious world, is that when we talk about youth, we think that they need to be entertained, and we do all kinds of activities to try and entertain our youth, to attract them to the scriptures. When the scriptures aren't being taught, that seems to be somewhat of a contradiction.
Yeah, Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. And it's interesting that the focus there is on the Word. And there was an occasion recorded for us in the book of John where Jesus had fed the people who were there listening, and finally at one point he told them that they were just coming for the food. And he criticized that because people were coming for carnal reasons. And Jesus also makes a statement that his kingdom is not of this world. That coupled with the fact that the gospel is powerful. 2 Timothy 3 tells us that, gives us a list of things that the Word is able to do. It's able to teach and correct, and it's and it in its entirety is will equip us to do all good works. And so our focus needs to be on the Scriptures. If someone's going to be converted, it's going to be the power of the gospel that does it.
Guillermo's question really does lead us into the discussion we want to have tonight. We want to ask the question tonight, how can the world influence Christians? You know, the world has obviously influenced people who profess to be Christians in the way that they are trying to entertain their young people instead of presenting them with the Scriptures. We want to ask the question, how can the world influence Christians tonight on the virtual Bible study? What are your thoughts? What do you think? What are some ways that you see that the world can influence Christians? It is clear that we live in a wicked world. We don't have to look very far, look very hard to find instances and examples of worldliness and evil in the world around us. Does this pose a problem to Christians? And if so, how do we deal with that problem? Can the world we live in rub off on us and influence us as Christians and cause us to be unpleasing to God? The number to call is 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567, or send us an email from collegeu.com. We'd like to hear from you and hear your thoughts. Do you believe that the world can influence Christians? Why don't you call in right now? Let us know your thoughts. Give us some examples of ways you think the world can influence Christians, ways that you have seen the world influence Christians. Have you seen it in your own life? Have you seen the world rub off on you? Have you seen areas where you had to catch yourself and say, I'm not living like I should. The world has influenced me. What were those ways? Give us a call right now, 931-381-4567, or email us at collegeu.com. You know, Dad, as we look at the world around us, we see evil influences all over. You know, we have the television everywhere today, movies, radio, advertising, even advertisements on the radio or the commercials on the television that we are watching have evil influences on us. The world is evil, and the influences of the world are very prevalent in our society today.
I think that's exactly right. You know, even in, for instance, New Testament times, the New Testament writers warned about the influence of the world and warned us not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If it was a problem in first century times for Christians living then, think about all of the new ways that you just mentioned, Jacob, where evil influences are able to affect us that didn't even exist back then. You mentioned television, movies, radio, advertising, internet. Of course, we're trying to do something good with the internet, but the internet certainly is a powerful influence for Satan to use toward evil. All of those things are new. We're living in a day and age where the world has greater opportunity to impact our personal lives than ever before, and so it is surely a problem.
Well, it is. What are some dangers that you see associated with those new mediums? What do you think are some areas where the world can influence us? Give us a call, 931-381-4567. Well, Phil, it is clear from the Scriptures that we are taught that we should be careful about our associations and about allowing the world to rub off on us. For example, an Old Testament proverb, Proverb 22, verses 24 and 25, says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." The Bible presents a very clear picture for us throughout the Scriptures that we've got to be careful that the world does not influence us in such a way to cause us to be unpleasing to God.
Yeah, sometimes we can sort of take a doctrine or a part of what's commonly termed Calvinism and almost take that subconsciously and think that because we become Christians, we don't have much to worry about. We're warned about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, where it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." We're warned in this text to be careful and to watch ourselves, to make sure that we're not falling. I think as we'll go throughout the program tonight, we'll show that it is possible for the world to rub off on Christians, and it's possible to rub off on them to the extent that they sin and can put them in a bad relationship with God, and that's certainly a place that we don't want to be. I think 1 Corinthians 10 is a great text to consider in the course of this discussion. It says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall."
You know, I think that is a very good concern that we need to have, Phil. A lot of times I'm afraid that as Christians we go through life thinking that everything's okay, that we've got it under control, and we're not on guard every day, every minute of every day, to make sure that we're living like we should. Dad, I see a lot of Christians, and even see that in my own life, that we get complacent, we get lackadaisical, and we forget the fact that the devil is a roaring lion, and he's out there every day trying to get us to fall.
That's the key. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 that you just referenced, Jacob, the devil is as a roaring lion, stalking about, seeking whom he may devour. He never quits, and he never loses focus on the emphasis of his existence, which is to destroy us spiritually. And that is what's really scary, is that a lot of, not just people of the world, but a lot of Christians are just sort of stumbling along through life without an apparent recognition of the spiritual dangers that surround them. And that's one of the things we really want to emphasize on our program. We have got to wake up. We've got, as Christians, we've got to be alerted to the dangers of the world.
The world is an evil place. We must make sure that we are unspotted from the world. As James 1, verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." That's our instruction. That is our charter as Christians. We are told to be unspotted from the world. How can the world spot us? How can the world influence us? That's what we're talking about on the program tonight. We think it is a very important discussion because it is obvious that a lot of Christians are falling prey to the devil's tactics. A lot of Christians are falling to the influence of the world and are not living as God would instruct them to. What ways do you think that can happen? The numbers to call are 931-381-4567.
Also, we can take email questions. Go to the website, www.collegeview.com, and you can submit a question there on the link. It'll come right to us, and we'll try to deal with it. We got a question in from Pat in Alabama, and Pat asks a question about passages like Matthew 19:9, Romans 7, verses 2 and 3. Now, we'll read those in a minute. Those are verses that talk about marriage, specifically marriage and divorce and potential remarriage. And he asked the question, suppose a person violated passages like Matthew 19:9, Romans 7, 2, and 3, and got into a second or third marriage which was adulterous. If they decided to repent of that, what would they have to do and why? Now, linking that to what we're talking about here, one of the very evil influences of the world on Christians today is this very lax attitude toward the marriage covenant and the promise and commitment that husbands and wives make to one another when they enter into marriage. You know, it's a frightening thing, Phil. I know we know people who just, it's just nothing to them. Get into a marriage, get out of one, get another one. It's just, they're very non-committed to it because that's the norm in our society.
It's interesting. I saw a news report recently where some people are dropping the phrase "till death do us part" from their marriage vows simply because they don't like the idea of committing to their spouse for their entire lifetime. They no longer say "till death do us part" and then renege on it. They don't even bother saying it anymore.
Yeah, I saw that same news ad, or news. It was a news article actually, yeah. And at least they're being honest. They're not entering. You know, it has been just flatly dishonest for most people to say "till death do us part" because they never had that intention anyway. But that's the idea of how the world has impacted our thinking. And the norms of society have begun to influence even Christians into imagining that divorce, for any reason, is not a big deal. You don't like that husband, you don't like that wife, get a divorce, go find a different one. And so that's just, I think, a real good example of how the world is influencing us. And we could go to those verses that Pat mentioned in his email, Matthew 19:9. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." In answer to his question, if a person committed adultery in the fashion there described by putting away his wife and marrying someone that he had no scriptural right to, I believe that repentance would necessitate severing that second unscriptural marriage because they have no right to that person. And to continue in that marriage would be continuing the adulterous relationship, continue to commit the sin. There wouldn't be any, there's no forgiveness for a sin that we won't repent of. Repentance is a condition of all forgiveness. And if we will not repent, if we will not stop the sinning, then we can't be forgiven.
That's an excellent point. We see here that the Bible teaches us that to remain in an unlawful marriage is sin. We'll talk about that a little bit more on the other side of the break. We're going to go to our first break, and that would be a great time for you to jump on and let us know your thoughts. The number to call is 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567, or send us an email from collegeview.com. Stay tuned. We'll talk about Pat's question a little bit more on the other side of the break, and we want to take your comments. How can the world influence us as Christians? How can we be influenced by the world in such a way that we're unpleasing to God? 931-381-4567, or email us from collegeview.com. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Don't touch that mouse. The virtual Bible study will be back right after this.
Do you remember when elders, deacons, preachers, Bible class teachers, and all church members had a strong commitment to the Word? Do you recall when you could always count on book, chapter, and verse preaching from the pulpit? Can you think back to a time when Christians were known as people of the book because they knew their Bible so well? We're trying to be like a church you read about in the Bible, and we're still doing the same things that you remember from way back when. Are you longing for a return for the way things used to be? Come and visit. See for yourself at the College View Church of Christ.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the virtual Bible study every week. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back into the program. We're glad that you're here on the virtual Bible study tonight. We hope you'll stay with us to the top of the hour as we talk about the Bible with you over the internet. The number to call is 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567. Or you can email us from our website, collegeview.com. We're talking about, as we left for the last break, we were talking about Pat's question on marriage and whether or not someone in an unscriptural marriage would have to get out of that marriage if it was an unpleasing marriage to God. Would they be able to stay in that marriage and just repent, or would they have to divorce? Phil, you had a verse, I think. You don't have the verse handy. There's a verse.
Although there is another verse that it's not the one that I'm thinking of, but there is another verse that can apply to this. And it's in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. It's the idea of we used to do things, but we don't do that anymore. And it says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor." And it goes on the verse talking about that. And the idea is that you used to do this as a practice. You can no longer do this. It's the same as an unscriptural marriage. If it's adultery before, it would be adultery after you become a Christian to remain in it.
Well, in the text that Pat's, one of the other passage that Pat suggested was in Romans chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. It reads, "For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she shall be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Notice the present tense there in verse 3. If while her husband liveth, she's married to another man, she shall be called, which is suggests the ongoing relationship. She shall be called in an ongoing way an adulteress, so long as that relationship continues.
I think a powerful verse that shows us this principle is Mark chapter 16, verse 18. The fact that John told Herod, "It is unlawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." He showed Herod that it was unlawful not just to take his brother's wife, but to have her, to keep her.
Yeah.
He wasn't entitled to that wife, and he needed to get out of that relationship. It cost John his head, but that was the truth of the scriptures, that God tells us that we have to get out of those relationships that are not pleasing to him. That's a difficult teaching to accept, though, Dad, and a lot of emotional considerations there, but that's what the scriptures teach.
That's a real price to pay. But, you know, Jesus never said being a Christian would be the easiest thing in the world, and he told us to count the cost before we decided to be a disciple. So that would be one of the cost of discipleship that someone needs to consider.
Well, also, an Old Testament reference that helps us to understand this principle is Ezra chapter 10, where the children of Israel had entered into relationships with foreign women that they were forbidden to marry. And to get right with God, a step that they had to take in Ezra chapter 10 was to put away those wives. And we talked about the emotional consequence of these teachings. In verse 44 of Ezra chapter 10, it said, all these had taken strange wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. So they were to, they put away those wives that they did not have a right to, even though they had a family and children. A lot of people would say, well, that wouldn't be good for the children, but that's what God demanded. That's a tough teaching, but we need to accept it.
I think the interesting thing there, you know, a lot of people today say God would never expect such a thing. God would never demand or require something as hard as that. Well, God did. How can we say God would never? We have the historical record where God did require it. So, I mean, that argument, that emotional argument just goes by the board. Now, let's bring this back to the point that, or the topic that the sort of the theme that we're discussing tonight, and that's the idea of the influence of the world on Christians. A lot of Christians have fallen to this notion that divorce and remarriage for many reasons is okay. It doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. God doesn't care. And that's clearly the influence of the world and the changing norms of society that have impacted the thinking of Christians. So that does, although that's a the whole theme of divorce and remarriage is quite a involved matter and a, certainly something worthy of study. I suggested last week, Jacob, we might want to do a whole program some night on divorce and remarriage and so forth. We might do that. But that bringing that back to our theme tonight, how the world impacts Christians, that's just an example of it. Now, I got another email question up. Preston in Valdosta, Georgia writes in, and he says, what's the best way to approach a Christian about their worldliness? In other words, if you, I take it from what Preston's writing there, he's asking the question, you know, say you are a member in a local congregation or you know someone who's a Christian, but you feel like they're being very worldly in the things that they do and say and how they act. So how would you approach that, Jacob?
Well, that's an excellent question, Preston. Preston, appreciate you sending that question. You know, I think that a passage that has to be taken into consideration here is Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Phil, we see here that we should love our brother enough when we see them becoming worldly to correct them and to encourage them to do better. But an important thing there is that latter part of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, to consider ourselves. The temptation is very easy for us to allow those worldly brethren to influence us. We see them doing it. We think, well, if they're doing it, it can't be that bad. And the temptation is there that we could be overtaken in that fault as well.
Yeah, it's just like we mentioned earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where we're told to take heed lest we fall. And that's a very good point to make also from this text here. I think there are a couple good lessons relating to the question by the emailer is how do we go about doing that? And the key in this verse is, first of all, going to him, but then doing it in a spirit of meekness. And it goes on to say, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Yes, we do have to love a brother enough to show them when they're in error, but we have instructions of how to do it. Yeah. Well, we can't go clobber them over the head.
Well, that's right, and I think the approach that we use in those matters is really one of the keys as to whether or not we'll be successful. We may or may not be successful, depending upon the heart of the person that we're trying to touch. But if we come across with an arrogant or holier-than-thou attitude, if we don't have that spirit of meekness that Paul instructed us to have there, we almost certainly won't be successful.
That's right, and it has to be done with love because we love them, obviously, enough to confront them about their worldliness. I think there comes a point, though, when if a Christian who is becoming worldly will not change, then we need to break off our ties with them, and that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says. But now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one, know not to eat. And so we've got to be very careful. Back to the passage in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, these worldly people can influence us if we're not careful, and they can get us to sin as well.
Yeah, in other words, we try to restore them, but the teaching in the New Testament clearly is if they will not be restored, then we have to make some judgment along the way, but at some point we would say, well, I can't fellowship that any longer.
Back to Preston's question, though, what would be some techniques that you would use, Dad, if you saw a brother who was worldly and needed to change? What are some ideas, some places where you might start?
You know, one of the things that I've learned through the years, maybe by sort of my own failures in that regard, is I think one of the best things to do is to be just right up front and open about it. You know, a lot of times we beat around the bush, afraid to bring something up. And I've come to the conclusion that the best approach is certainly humble and meek, but very honestly say, brother, I'm worried. Some of the things I'm seeing concerns me. Talk to me about this. Let's see what we can discuss about it.
I like your point there. You know, we look at Jesus and how he confronted people who had problems, and that's what he did. He didn't mince words. He told them.
we don't want to be in their face. You know, we don't want to bust them in the face and just make them mad before we have a chance to appeal to their heart. But I do think being open and generating the conversation is the best thing.
We need to let them know the seriousness of their condition and the place that they find themselves if they were to die in that situation. Phil?
I think it's interesting, and this is actually a case of where Jesus was talking with someone who was not a Christian. Obviously, before he died, nobody was a Christian, but someone who was not already a disciple of his, and it was the woman who had basically five husbands. And the idea of telling her to go and sin no more, the attitude that he took with her was different than what he took in Matthew 23 with the Pharisees, where we read all the woe to you hypocrites. Jesus had the wisdom to know what to say when.
He was perfect in that.
Exactly.
We may not be, but what he does show is...
Great example for us.
What he shows us that you do use different approaches with different people.
Exactly, yeah. And we have to use wisdom in that regard, and I believe we have to ask God for wisdom to know how to do that correctly.
Okay, we got some other emails coming in. We're glad that we've got a lot of listeners tonight. We've multiplied our listening audience from last week. I've lost track, Jacob, how many have logged on to the program, but we've got a good listening audience. We're glad for everybody's out there. Jared's in Cookeville, Tennessee, says we're coming in loud and clear. Glad Jared's listening. Got a question from Jim in Jackson, Tennessee. Does James 4:4 show the end result of being influenced by the world? James 4:4, does it show the end result of being influenced by the world? Jacob?
All right, to answer that question, let's begin by reading James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I think it is. The end result of the world influencing us, if we're going to be friends with the world, we won't be God's friend. Phil, that's an excellent passage to show us the seriousness of what we're talking about tonight.
Well, I think you're right, and also we have passages like over in 2 Peter chapter 2 that also warn us about which we do encourage calls. Please call.
Yeah.
931-381-4567 is the number to call. I think our phone line's working tonight. Maybe we got problems out there, but give us a call, 931-381-4567.
But the emailer, it is an emailer, the emailer was asking about... Actually, I just lost my train of thought, asking about James chapter 4 and verse 4 being the end result. And I think 2 Peter chapter 2 can give us that end result. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20, says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." When we become so influenced by the world that we become what's described here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, we are certainly in a very dangerous state to be in when we face our Lord in judgment.
Well, Phil, as we look at those passages and the seriousness of being influenced by the world, the danger, I believe, is that this is a very subtle thing, that we allow the world to influence us very subtly in ways often that we do not recognize. And before long, we are like the world without realizing that we've made that transition. We need to be careful about that.
I've heard the illustration of a frog that can be killed by being boiled gradually. A frog will never jump into boiling hot water, but you can set them in room temperature water, and you can gradually increase the temperature, and that frog will boil to death before he knew what happened to him. And I think that's similar to what can happen to us as Christians if we're not careful.
I think you're exactly right, Phil. In fact, I'm convinced that in a lot of churches, if the things that are going on today had been suddenly introduced, people would have been in an outrage. But because they've been allowed to creep in gradually over a number of years, in many places there's been a serious departure from faithfully serving God.
It sort of gets back to an idea of tolerance that we could spend an entire program talking about, but when we tolerate minor changes, minor sinful changes, it can lead us in that direction.
I'll give you one to go think about as we go into our break. I think the way that Christians dress is an example of the fact that it is a slow process, it's a gradual process. I see Christians wearing things to the assembly even that they never would have just started out wearing, but they've gradually allowed the world to influence their thinking about what is appropriate dress, and now they're exactly like the world, and they are not living as God would have them to. We're going to go to our break, and when we get back, we want to take a call from you, 931-381-4567, or give us an email at collegeview.com. As we discuss the world and how the world can influence us, what are some of the subtle ways that you believe the world can influence us, ways that we may not even notice on the surface, but can influence us in such a way that God will not be pleased with us? Give us a call, 931-381-4567, or email us from collegeview.com. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Don't touch that mouse. The virtual Bible study will be back right after this.
Do you remember when the emphasis of the work of the church was on teaching the gospel, converting the lost, and strengthening the saints? Can you recall good old-fashioned gospel preaching that appealed to the Bible as the sole and final authority in all religious matters? Are you tired of seeing churches that seem much more interested in social events and entertainment than in simply following the New Testament pattern? Would you love to hear lessons from the pulpit like you used to hear? Do you want to find a church that is still doing things the way you remember from years ago? If these things describe the way you are feeling, please visit us soon. Come and see. Visit us at the College View Church of Christ.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
And welcome back into the virtual Bible study tonight. We're glad that you're here. We hope you'll stay tuned. We're talking about the world and the way that the world can influence us. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or we can take an email from you and include that in our program tonight. What do you think about the world and ways that it can influence us? We're going to go to the phones, and we are glad that our phone lines are working tonight. We're going to welcome Jerry Henderson in Trenton, Tennessee. Hello, Jerry. Are you there? Do you hear us, Jerry?
I think I hear him talking there way in the background, Jacob.
Okay. Jerry, are you there? All right. We'll wait for a minute, let Jerry get to his phone if he can hear us. The number to call, 931-381-4567. Guys, as we went to the break, we were talking.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, Jerry's there. Jerry, welcome.
Yeah, I can hear you on my computer. I don't hear you on the phone.
Okay, let's work on that a little bit. How's that, Jerry?
I got you now.
Oh, good. Welcome to the program.
You're just doing a real fine job.
Thank you.
I'm real pleased with the quality of the program.
Yeah, you need to. Not, don't listen to the computer. You're going to get a big delay on the computer.
Turn it down.
Yeah, that's going to mess you up big time.
Hang on just a second.
So what we were hearing was us.
Yeah, we were hearing us talking back in the background.
You didn't hear Jerry, you heard us.
Well.
Now, you got that, Jerry?
Just a second. I'm not as computer literate as some of you guys.
Sometimes it's hard to get a hold of that volume switch on that computer. I know I have trouble with that sometimes, too.
It's not as easy to turn down as radio.
That's right. Now you got it. Now it sounds better, Jerry.
Sometimes you got to kick them, Jerry.
Yeah, just put them out there and floor kick. Y'all are doing just a real fine job. I appreciate the work you're doing, and I know it's quite challenging technologically because I know a little bit about what's involved in it. But I don't know how wide of an audience you got, or how many you got. You got quite a wide audience, but I think this is a wave of the future, and I appreciate the efforts that y'all are putting forth to.
Well, we hope it's a wave of the future, Jerry. We think that it is, and it's just exciting to know that we can get listeners from literally all around the world. A fellow we know down in Chile, Nestor Sanchez. I think, Nestor, you're probably still out there listening. He had logged on earlier, and we would say welcome to Nestor down in Chile. He's a good friend of ours and had logged on, I think, tonight. And just an example of how far-reaching this can be. You know, we for a long time, Christians have put programs on local radio stations, and that's always done a lot of good, I think. This is rather different in regards to the fact that we've got a lot more listeners tonight from far distances that a local radio station would have never reached. We've got some Columbia listeners, if I'm reading our data here correctly, but we've also got just a lot of people from far distant places, and so it's just rather exciting to know that we can go that far.
We just started this a local radio program on an AM station, and I'm putting the files, or Dan is putting the files on our website, and so they're available electronically, but this is live, immediate results from this, and to me that's a far better situation. situation than just putting it on the web and hoping somebody will click on it.
Hey, Jerry, how does it sound on your end tonight?
Oh, it sounds great.
Great.
I got it on my little laptop sitting here in my recliner in the living room.
Well, don't fall asleep.
My wife said it sounded good till I got on.
Okay. It's great to hear from you, Jerry. Keep up the good work you're doing down there in Trenton, Tennessee.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Jerry, for your call.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
The number to call is 931-381-4567. The line is open now. Why don't you jump on and let us know how we sound, 931-381-4567, or send us an email. I think we've got some more emails coming in.
Yeah, we got several emails stacking up on us here. Jake, let's get to those. We're really glad to have the email response. We'd also be glad to have more phone calls, 931-381-4567. And then the email, you go to our website, collegeview.com, same place you logged on to the program, and you'll see that there's a link there where you can submit a question. Daniel in Shelbyville, Tennessee says, I believe we often underestimate the power of our social influences. It has been said that people are products of the environment they surround themselves with, and to a degree I believe this is true. When God said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners, he wasn't just suggesting we stay away from evil communications. He really meant it. No, I maybe didn't read that very well. It wasn't just a suggestion. It was instruction or command. He meant it. You know, stay clear of evil companions. May all Christians realize the danger of keeping evil people as friends and flee from them with the same speed that Joseph fled Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39.
I think Daniel makes some excellent points there. It's not an option for us, is it?
I think that's a good point, and I appreciate Daniel bringing that out. This is not just, you know, worthy advice. This is inspired instruction. Phil?
Yeah, over in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we have another command. We mentioned this on last week's program. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As Daniel says, this is not a suggestion. It's a command. It's something that we must do. Something that God demands of us, and that goes into counting the cost, as you mentioned earlier, Greg, about the man who built the tower, the king who's going to go to war. They had to count the cost. And Jesus says we have to do the same thing about becoming a disciple and living apart, conducting our lives in a way that is different than the world conducts their lives. It is a commandment enjoined on us. It's not a suggestion.
Okay. Nick in Jennings, Florida writes in and says, what's the difference in John 3:16 where it says, God so loved the world, yet then the same Apostle John who recorded that said in 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the question is, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, and describes that, of course, goes on to describe, of course, that he sent his only begotten Son. So God loved the world, but we're instructed to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. What's the difference there?
I think we are to love the world, and that's a little bit of a twist there. We are to love the world in such a way that God loved the world, and that we have care for them and we are concerned for their soul. We are not to love the world in that we don't love their ways, Phil, in such a way that we want to join them.
Yeah, the idea of the world, the way it's used in the scripture, used a couple different ways. Sometimes it's talking about the people that make up the planet. Sometimes the world is referred to that way, and sometimes the world is referred to those who are not Christians, those who are not doing the will of the Father, and the practices associated with such. I think what we have to understand as we look throughout the New Testament, appreciate Nick for his email, I think we have to understand as we look throughout the New Testament is that a distinction is made. The term world is used in different ways throughout the New Testament. In John 3:16, I believe that it's referring to the world being the individual, all the individuals in the world. But I take 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 to be referring to the ungodly practices practiced by those who are not Christians.
That gets us into the idea that we've talked about before, Phil. You and I have talked about this before, that we are to love the sinner and hate the sin. We are to hate the world in the fact that the sinfulness of the world. We are to love the world in the fact that they have a soul that needs to be saved and we have compassion on them.
I hear people sometimes ridicule that idea, and they're like, well, how can you love the person but hate their sin? If you have a problem with what they're doing, often it's in relation to homosexuality. They'll say, if you hate the sin, if you don't like what they're doing, you must hate them. Well, the fact is, God loved the sinner but hated the sin. God hates the sin but loves the sinner. And we're instructed to do the same thing. And so when people criticize that idea, I think they have a flawed understanding of the way God is, because God loved us enough, as John 3:16 says, to send his only begotten Son, that if we'll believe in him, we won't perish. But he hates what we've done. That's why Jesus had to come.
Psalm 7 and verse 11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. So now, that same God loves the soul of that wicked person, but he hates the wickedness that he's involved in. In the book of Revelation, Jesus talked about some people who were involved in false religious practice. And for instance, to the church at Pergamos, he said in Revelation 2, verse 15, thou hast them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And so, God hates the wickedness that people make involved in him, but God loves the people of the world to the extent that he sent his son to die on the cross for their sins.
And that gets us into what we're talking about here. We're talking about the fact that the world can influence us. What are some ways that you believe the world can influence Christians? The number to call, 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567, or you can send us an email from collegeview.com. I believe we have another email.
Yeah, Steve is writing from Knoxville, Tennessee. We've got people all over Tennessee listening tonight. We're glad for it. Steve writes, it seems that we read James 4:4 and say, yes, we know that friendship with the world, but we tend to minimize this warning thinking that we're not guilty. But living in modern-day America with all the wealth that we have, we may be more heavily tempted by worldliness than we would like to think. The temptation hits us much harder than we think. And I agree with Steve's observations there. There's always the tendency to sort of deny that we have the problem. Oh, yeah, it's a problem. People have the problem. The temptation's out there, but it doesn't bother me.
It's the other guy.
It's always the other guy, yeah. And so I think Steve's observation there is very good.
Well, you talked about the condemnation of people in Revelation chapter 3, around verse 14, beginning the church to the Laodiceans. They were told that they believed that they were rich and increased in goods and had need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And so as we talk about the world influencing us, this passage and others show us that it is very possible that we could be influenced by the world and never realize it, Dad, that we are worldly and not ever know it. We think we're okay with God, but we're really worldly.
That's what's described there for sure concerning those Christians.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones, and this time we're going to welcome Preston in Valdosta, Georgia. Hello, Preston.
Hey, man.
Hey, good to talk to you. I believe we took an email from you earlier in the program.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I had a comment I wanted to make about how, Christians get influenced by the world, and I've been around a lot of Gnostics, and you can tell when they say something, they use a lot of logic. They use how, well, history says this, or they'll say that, things are different now because that was 2,000 years ago. And it's kind of weird how it can make a difference on the way you see things, because they're using logic, but we have to use the Bible to guide our thinking, because when you read in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, it talks about how all scriptures are inspired by the inspiration of God, or given by inspiration of God, and then how in 2 Peter 1:19 through 21, it talks about how the verse says it. Where is that? Turn over there. In 2 Peter, it talks about how, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't something, we have to go by the Bible, and it's correct because God wrote it, and the Bible is not fallible like we would have our Gnostic friends talk about.
Well, Preston, that's an excellent comment, but if you're like me, when you're around those people, they can begin to sort of influence your thinking, where you begin to reason on their level, where you want to use logic to reason some of the things that they're reasoning, and we can't allow them to influence our thinking that way.
Exactly. I just thought that was something that was important, because down here, I meet a lot of Gnostics, and it's like, wow, you would have no idea, especially me being raised up in the church. It's like, how could you think that way, And so it's a different thinking, and I know that that's a growing religion in my mind, so...
Preston, how do we sound in Valdosta tonight?
Oh, y'all sound clear as a bell.
Great. We're glad that you joined us, and thanks for calling, Preston.
Oh, no problem.
Have a good night.
You too.
The number to call, 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567. We've had some good calls. We hope you'll call, and we hope you'll send us an email if you don't want to call, or maybe you're using your phone line to dial up to listen to us tonight. Why don't you just send us an email from our website, collegeu.com. Time for our last break. The hour's going by fast, isn't it, guys?
It's flying by.
We're having a good study tonight. We're glad that you're here. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
Enjoying the virtual Bible study? Email a friend during this break and tell them to join in on the discussion. There's more exciting Bible study after this commercial.
Do you remember a time when no one had ever heard of a church with a family life center or a gymnasium? Can you think back to a time when good brethren would have been outraged to see a church budget overloaded with kitchen equipment and supplies, athletic equipment, and buses to carry kids to amusement parks? Are you concerned because the church you're attending has gotten all wrapped up in things that you know should not even be a part of the work of the church? Would you like to find a congregation that is committed to simply doing Bible things in Bible ways? If so, please visit us soon. Come and see for yourself. Visit us at the College View Church of Christ this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m.
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over and the virtual Bible study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
And we're back on the virtual Bible study tonight, and we are glad that you've joined us. We're glad that you're tuned in. We hope you'll join us again next week at 8 o'clock on the virtual Bible study. We're talking about the ways that the world can influence us tonight and how the world can influence us, and we may not even know it. We're looking forward to hearing from you. 931-381-4567. Jump on right now. Let us know your thoughts. What are some ways you believe the world can influence us? We just got done talking with Preston in Valdosta, Georgia. Preston says that the world can influence our thinking and cause us to think ways that are not scriptural if we're not careful and we don't guard our thoughts. We agree with those comments. And what are some ways that you think the world can influence us? 931-381-4567 or email us from collegeview.com.
I got Jason from Buford, Georgia, writing in answer to what you just asked, Jacob. How do you think the world may influence us? He says, the workplace is probably the best place for a Christian to be influenced by the world. We are affected by fellow workers and our business environments without even realizing it. One example is how many churches are run like corporate America with no thought given to what God wants and how God desires His church to be organized. It's easy to fall into this trap without even thinking about it because we spend at least 40-plus hours per week at work and maybe 4 or 5 hours per week with our brethren. So Jason is saying that the workplace and the influences of the workplace can influence a lot of things, even influence us in regards to how we think the church should operate.
Well, we've known of churches that were run like businesses where if the preacher said something that didn't go along with what the congregation thought, Phil, and people got mad and left, well, that's bad for business, per se, you know. So we have to not preach those things anymore. I think Jason makes a good point. We appreciate you listening down in Georgia, Jason.
Well, I might mention along the lines of workplace influences and so forth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul warns, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Now, I'm not saying that to work in a place where they're non-Christians is necessarily an unequal yoke, but it might be so. And I think people sometimes have experienced this, that their work environment was such a detriment that it became an unequal yoke. In other words, it put them in such a position that they were constantly forced to compromise or be tempted to compromise their Christianity. And one of the things that we would have to be willing to consider is even changing jobs so that we wouldn't be in that unequal yoke that was causing us spiritual turmoil.
I have an interesting question for our listeners, and maybe some people will email in or call in about this. Some people try to solve this problem back in the, Middle Ages by becoming monks. What they did is they all gathered together and they didn't associate with the outside world. Is that a valid approach? I'd like to get our listeners' thoughts about that. Is totally separating ourselves from the world to where we have no contact with those in the world, is that a scriptural approach to solve the problem?
Are you promoting the compound concept, Phil?
I'm not.
You're asking. That's.
I'm asking. I'm not saying at all. I'm asking.
Well, we'll see if somebody answers. Call us 931-381-4567 or give us an email.
That's an interesting twist, Phil. I mean, we talk about we need to be careful about the world influencing us. Is that the correct approach? And we'll talk about that hopefully before we're done.
Is there a way to go too far with it? I'll go ahead and say I believe that there is, you know, just for the record.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear you say
that. Oh, yeah, yeah. Just for the record, but there are some people who have taken that approach, that the solution is to totally seclude ourselves in such a way that we don't even have contact with those who are of the world. I'd like to get the listeners' comments on that. I don't believe it's a scriptural approach.
I don't think so either. You know, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. Well, we can't be the salt if we're not in contact with the earth. We're the light of the world. Well, we can't be a light if we're not in contact with the world. So we're to be salt and light in the world. Therefore, we're going to have to be in association or contact with the world so that we can provide those vital roles. Those verses in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16.
What's the point of having a good influence if there's nobody to influence, right?
We're going to have to work on our definitions, guys. You are host, not listeners. We're want our listeners to answer that question.
Okay.
Well,
let me go to another email. Dan in Greenwood, Indiana writes in, and he, I think, is certainly agreeing with us when we're talking about some of the ways the world can impact us. And specifically the Internet. He says the world 25 years ago was thousands of miles away. Today the world is a keystroke away with the Internet. It is greatly influencing children in every aspect of their lives. Parents have to educate them early in life so they can make the right decisions as they get older and live in a world where the Internet is even necessary in their professions. I think that's exactly right. A lot of us use the Internet in the things that we do on a daily basis. Almost all day long sometimes we are using the Internet. I think last week you mentioned, Phil, you know, as you're innocently using the Internet to do valuable or worthwhile things, you might get a pop-up or anything else might. I mean, the devil is throwing it out there constantly.
Yeah, he throws it out there as bait, and the question is, what do we do with it? Do we follow the pop-up or do we close it down? And for many people, that's a tough choice that they have to make every time that pops up. And while the Internet can serve a good purpose, I believe it is tonight. While it can serve a good purpose, it can also work for Satan, and it has in many places. When you have a great percentage of males reporting having used pornography, that's an alarming statistic in the way that Satan has been able to use the Internet to corrupt people.
Well, we've got about 10 minutes to go in the program, guys, less than that now. The number to call, 931-381-4567, or send us an email from collegeview.com. We've talked about the fact that the world can influence us, and we've looked at some of the ways, lots of ways. We can't deal with them all tonight. We'd be here all night long talking about the ways the world can influence us. So how can we now, at the end of the program, let's talk about how can we avoid being influenced by the world?
Well, you know, that goes right with a question we've got from Wade here in Columbia, Tennessee. He emails, how do you suggest that we protect our children and family from the influences of media when we actually pay for that stuff to come into our homes? There's such things as TV Guardian to help with language. What other suggestions? And I think that's what you're just suggesting, Jake.
I think also we would also maybe propose pulling the plug sometimes as well, Wade. But let's talk about some ways that we can avoid being influenced by the world. I think one of the ways that we talk about, though, and Phil, we mentioned the extreme of not having any contact with the world, but we have to separate ourselves from the world to some extent. Now, the idea of a monastery and going off onto a remote island where we cannot be influenced by anybody is not, I don't believe that's a scriptural answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 tells us this, where Paul tells us we're going to have to associate with some people who are worldly and who are sinners. And that is taught throughout the scriptures. But we have to be different. We have to be separate from the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, beginning, and other verses teach us that we need to avoid associations with people that will cause us to stumble. We're told there not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers that can cause us to sin. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Dad, the idea here is that we've got to be separate from the world in areas where they could cause us to fall.
Yeah, we have to be willing to take that stand. And to that extent, we have to be willing to be considered odd or even fanatical, extreme. You know, you said, you know, pull the plug. Well, Jacob, that sounds really extreme. You tell me I should actually disconnect my television, perhaps? That sounds pretty extreme.
we're talking about taking extreme measures here, because we talked about the extreme consequences of failing to avoid being influenced by the world. We're talking about serious things here, Phil. If it requires us to go to drastic measures, we should be willing to do that.
Well, we can go back to where Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. For it's better to be able to go through life blind than to be cast into hell. And he goes through a couple different body parts there. And the illustration Jesus is making there is that if necessary, take extreme measures to remove whatever is keeping you from faithfully serving God. And if that means unplugging a TV, then in your case, it would mean unplugging a TV.
Yeah, that the verse you're referencing there, Phil, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:29. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, I don't think Jesus was teaching self-mutilation there, but I think he was teaching a principle. Be willing to give up anything that stands to threaten you spiritually. In fact, In the past, I have paraphrased that verse relative to the television. If your television set offends thee, throw it out. Cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that thy television set should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. That'd be a fair application, I think, of the principle Jesus was teaching.
Well, you talk about drastic measures. That gets me into the next point, I think, that we need to look at. We can avoid being influenced by the world by changing our perspective, realizing what is more important. Is it more important to be entertained by some mindless television show, or is it more important to be right with God? We need to change our perspective. Psalm 97, verse 10 says, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." We're talking about important, serious consequences here. If we fail to avoid being influenced by the world, we will have death here, as Romans chapter 6, verse 16 tells us. We need to adopt the perspective that Psalm 97, verse 10 says, that we hate evil.
So we're talking about perspective and priorities, and if our perspective and priorities are right, then we'll make the hard choices to keep ourselves from being thus influenced. Joel in Chapel Hill, Tennessee, simply writes the question, what are some of the defense mechanisms that we can utilize to maintain purity in such a sinful world? And I think that's just some of the things you were just mentioning there, Jacob.
I think that another area where we can use a defense mechanism is if we will study the Scriptures. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 talks to us about being influenced by the world and says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We see here, Phil, that we can avoid being influenced by the world. One of those tactics that we can use is to renew our mind. We do that by studying the Scriptures and looking at the world and its sinfulness like God looks at it, so that we can find out whether or not we're being influenced by the world and it's rubbing off on us.
Well, some people go through life with a purely external approach and they look good on the outside, but they haven't really changed on the inside. When we change our hearts, when we really have changed our minds, we say we're going to stop doing what's wrong, start doing what's right. And we do what Paul speaks about here in Romans chapter 12. And we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If we're not conformed to the world, if we're transformed by the renewing of your mind, God can be pleased with us.
We've got several emails, Jacob, and we're just about to the end of the hour. Let me quickly make reference to some of these. We're just so thankful for the listeners and for the participation. We had great participation by email tonight, and we just appreciate it very much. Mike here in Columbia, Tennessee, talks about media influence. An article in USA Today on July 28th was entitled, "Who Should Be in Charge?" The article deals with the rating systems for TVs, movies, and video games. Mr. Tim Winter, director of the Parents Television Council, said, quote, "What you're seeing here is an industry that refuses to accept responsibility for the harm it is capable of." Mr. Brent Bozell of the Parents Television Council said, quote, "The TV ratings are meaningless. The media influences," then Mike concludes by saying, "the media influences very much, and we are ultimately responsible for what we see." Agree completely.
The TV influences so much that we don't even blush when we see a woman half naked or naked, as the Bible defines her. It doesn't even faze us anymore, because the television has desensitized us and caused us to think like the world.
Yeah. Kent Mindy in Jackson, Tennessee, in answer to the question that you posed there, should we become hermits? They said, we can't cut off all contact with people of the world. we do have to associate with immoral people and reference 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10. I think that's the point. I think that is the point. We're in the world. We got to be. We're in the world, but not of the world. Steve in Knoxville, Tennessee, writes back with reference to the same verse, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 10. If you were not to have contact, he says you would have to go out of the world. And I think that's exactly right. So the answer to the question is definitely that we can't totally leave the world. We can't become hermits or construct a monastery. We have to be in the contact with the world so we can influence the world.
And we're about out of time, but let's read 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10. I think this does tell us the importance of being in the world but not being like them. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9, beginning, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. And we can't remove ourselves from the world, Dad, as very clear. We've got to be in the world. We've got to influence, and that may be a topic for another program, is how can we influence the world, not how can we not be influenced by them. How can we influence the world for good?
Let me read one more from Mike in Cullioca, Tennessee. The more comfort we have in this world, the harder it is for a Christian to live a righteous life. Seems like the so-called feel-good religion is gradually taking a hold of some of our own brethren. Most of the time when I attend a funeral of a friend or a loved one, the speaker has preached the person's soul to heaven. When I was younger, it was always the hope that we all have. Do you think the influence of the world has caused that kind of thinking? I'd say yes. I think, again, the kind of preaching that's done, not just at funerals, but in the pulpits of most churches, is influenced by the trends of the modern world.
He talks about our prosperity hindering our spirituality. You know, the world is so comfortable. It's so nice here in the world. We're tempted to want to be here permanently. We want to make this our home, and we want to live like those who are in the world. And that's a great danger with the prosperity we enjoy in this country.
Looks like our hour's up. It really flew by tonight. We had great participation. We'll be anxious to get our data together and see how many listeners we had. We had just lots more than last week. We hope next week we'll have even more. And you can send us emails throughout the week. We'd be glad to receive some emails that might serve as a spark for another program, maybe get us started next week in our discussion. You can always go to that website, collegeview.com, send email messages, give us some feedback on the program, and we really appreciate the listeners tonight, Jacob.
We had a great study. We're glad that you joined us. We hope you benefited from the time that we spent together tonight. Phil, thanks for taking time to join us and enjoyed being with you tonight.
It was great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
And thank you for listening. We hope you'll be back here next week at 8 o'clock on the virtual Bible study. Between now and then, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the virtual Bible study brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the virtual Bible study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.